Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ben Volen is the senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe, and he is joining us now. Were you as shocked as we were this morning when this news broke?
Yeah, definitely came out of left field. I did not see it coming, but I guess from what I'm seeing on Twitter was that the Dolphins always planned on starting Tua after their bye week, and the bye week got changed, and so now's the time to do it. I'm a little surprised. They've won 3 of 4. They're playing pretty well. Fitz is, you know, leading them to big wins, and then all of a sudden they make the switch. So we'll see. This has, you know, a risky move. It certainly has boom or bust potential for Brian Flores, but I mean, you know, if they have confidence in Tua, let's do it. I mean, I'm as excited as you are. I want to see what this kid looks like.
And Ben, we were talking about that all day. It's the talk right now in South Florida, obviously, but what is the right way to put a young guy out there? Because we've seen guys just come on the team and start game one. We've seen guys, Patrick Mahomes, were put on the shelf for a year, and now he's the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. So in your opinion, what's the best way to transition that college guy to the NFL?
I mean, I hate to say this, it's kind of cliche, but there is no right way. I mean, Peyton Manning got his brains beat in as a rookie, going 3-13, setting the record for interceptions. But like, that was also a valuable learning experience for him. And then Pat Mahomes sat for a year and got to sit behind Alex Smith and got one start in week 17. And then he comes out, you know, just on fire, ready to go in year two. You know, it all depends on the player and the environment. I think Tua's had a great setup there with Fitzpatrick as his mentor. And I saw Tua had a comment. He's like, you know, not only, you know, do I get to sit there in the film room with Fitzy, but like, he actually sits there and explains why he does things and why things happen. And that's definitely valuable for a guy like Tua. I mean, if they think he's ready to go, you know, send him out there, but you know, let him get the live reps and take the live bullets. And, you know, there's no experience like playing, but you know, you're going to have to be a little patient, maybe take some of the good with the bad. And it does put the season a little bit more in jeopardy. It makes you wonder, is it all about, you know, developing Tua, or is it about winning games and making the playoffs? So if things start to go south a little bit, I guess it'll be interesting to see, are they going to stick by Tua, or will they go back to the veteran, and how will that affect Tua?
That's to me, and we talked about it a little bit today, that's the real interesting rub with all of this. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is with us. And in fact, when I called you this morning, it was to talk about the Dolphins, in my opinion, being in a prime position to take the AFC East after Buffalo's loss last night. And I was teasing Ben on the phone where, you know, his Patriots are looking up at the Dolphins in the standings. And so you go, yeah, this makes it maybe tougher now to win the AFC East or go to the playoffs. But maybe it doesn't as well, right? Because like, one of the things Crowder said today was, you kind of know what you have with Fitzy based on past performance, right? He's going to be 8-8 or 9-7. Like that's it. You know, unless he has this one aberration season, we kind of know that he's going to have a couple games like he did, and then he's going to have a couple games that don't look like that. So is it possible that they looked at what's moving right now for the Dolphins, said, you know what, the offensive line isn't bad, we got a decent running game here with Myles Gaskin, the receivers are doing their thing, like maybe Tua Tagovailoa actually gives them a better chance in the AFC East?
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely possible. And with Fitzpatrick, I mean, we all have seen the roller coaster over the years, and maybe the Dolphins are smart. They're getting out while the roller coaster's still at the top of the hill and hasn't started going going down that deep incline or decline yet. So Tua's tremendous athlete, great throwing on the run, a very accurate passer. And, you know, everyone said with Chan Gailey's offense, like, this is supposed to be a great fit for Tua. So, I mean, absolutely. You got to think his ceiling is much higher than with Fitzy. But, you know, Fitzpatrick is, you know, such a veteran player. He knows how to make plays. He does throw some interceptions, but he also knows how to avoid some mistakes at times, too. And I just think you're going to have to be a little bit patient with Tua. I mean, rookies make mistakes. They haven't seen coverages. They haven't. They don't have the hands-on experience that other guys do. So that to me is the most fascinating thing to watch. I mean, it's obvious that Tua is the future, but I mean, they're going to him right where they're right in the thick of the AFC East. They're definitely trending upwards. And if they drop a couple games, are they going to stick with him? Are they going to be willing to go back and forth? What does that do to the psyche of a quarterback? This is a very interesting move because they're right in it. And now, you know, we have to wonder what's the real motivation this year. Is it about developing Tua, or is it about doing whatever you can to maximize your wins and get to the playoffs? I'm not saying they certainly could play better with Tua, but it's risky to go to a rookie at this point.
And Ben, talking about what Hawk said, where the Patriots aren't used to looking up at anybody in the AFC East through the years, but we're in a transition time. We know Brady went to Tampa. What's your thought about that? Because we're hearing a lot of people like kind of write off the Patriots now after losing to a bad Broncos team yesterday. Like, can they turn it around still? Are we really transitioning in the AFC East? Because we know the Pats have run it for 20 years.
Well, I figured you guys were bringing me on today just to rub my nose in it.
It is fun. I'm not lying.
To somehow put the Patriots' fortunes on me, as if, you know, I really care about how the Patriots do. Look, I think they've hit a rough patch right now. It would be foolish to write off the Patriots, but they have issues. I mean, having a new quarterback, it went all swimmingly at first, but we've seen the last few weeks, like, they barely practiced. They had maybe two practices in 2 weeks, and they played like it against Denver. That was a terrible loss, and everyone here is jumping off a cliff right now with how bad Cam Newton and the offense looked. And Tom Brady could probably, you know, play pretty well without 2 weeks of practice, but not Cam, with as new as he is in the offense and still learning the receivers and everything. So they've, you know, Cam getting COVID has now cost them two games, the Chiefs game and the Broncos game. Conference games that are important, especially this home game of the Broncos, they should not have lost that game. They're going to really lament that one at the end of the year. And now when they have the Niners this week and then the Bills next week. So Patriots could be looking at 2-5, 3-5, you know, something like this, 2-6, heaven forbid. I just think they've hit a rough patch with the COVID and with everything. And Cam Newton just needs some practice, man. He just needs to get some work in. But, you know, don't count this team out. They've got Belichick. We've seen what Cam Newton can do when the offense is clicking. The Patriots, they just need a little bit of consistency right now, and they have not been able to get it in the last few weeks.
Is Belichick facing any heat up there? I saw a clip on that back after this Twitter account yesterday of, I think it was the Sports Hub, up there, like, kind of torching Bill Belichick, you know, because Tom Brady was rolling last game. He had a rough week the week before, but Tom Brady's rolling now with Tampa and the Patriots. Like you said, they've got the COVID problems. They're not able to practice half the time. They don't seem to be particularly great on the football field. Like, is he facing heat from fans and media?
Not like significant heat, you know, like it's the number. It's not like it's nonstop talk. What's wrong with Belichick? Has he slipped? Has he lost it? Was he a creation of Brady? It's not that bad, but he's generated some criticism just for the way that things have been handled. I mean, they, you know, playing Hoyer and not playing Jarrett Stidham against the Chiefs, that was a questionable decision. Hoyer was just awful that game. You know, he's had some coaching slip-ups this year. Like, there was an obvious play to challenge the other day. James White looked like he clearly picked up a first down. The refs blew it. Bill never challenged it. It's like, it seemed pretty obvious. And those are things that Belichick usually doesn't miss. They had weird timeout usage at the end of the Seahawks game that they lost there. They probably cost themselves one or two plays. And then they did it again against the Chiefs. Like, Bill's time management, his clock management's been off this year. And I hate to say it, but like the players needed the preseason, and so did probably Belichick and the coaches. They've looked a little bit out of sync as well. And Bill, you know, he looks like someone too that just wants to get back out on the football field and practice and have some normalcy. And this is such a weird year, and we all figured that Belichick would be good for extra wins just because of how detailed he is and how he can overcome obstacles, but they haven't been able to overcome it so far. And you know, the Patriots have had issues, and they probably are where they're supposed to be with their record, but it's not like Belichick has gotten more out of the team, and he usually does.
And Ben, I know John Ross's name was attached to the Patriots. He asked to, you know, leave Cincinnati. He doesn't want to be there anymore. And the Patriots usually don't, you know, trade a lot of people or trade assets. They usually build their team, you know, from within. They let Bill Belichick draft his guys he wants to draft and things. Do you think they changed their approach? Do you think now that, honestly, Brady's gone and they have to try to win, do you think they changed that old school approach that we've seen the Patriots deal with and really start willing and dealing in the regular season? Because through my memory, Ben, I don't remember them messing around too much in the regular season.
Well, they did go out and get Mohamed Sanu last year, but that was a disaster. So I don't really expect them to go out and make any moves. I think realistically the Patriots are rebuilding, and so I think they'd rather collect assets and save their draft picks and use them on young guys then go out and get, you know, a stopgap. The one guy I would like to see them trade for maybe is Njoku, the tight end from Cleveland. The Patriots, once again, dead last in the league with just, I think, 6 catches out of their tight ends all season, getting nothing from the position, and Njoku wants out of Cleveland. So maybe there's something they could do there. But I just don't see, you know, it's the Patriots' offense can be so difficult that it's hard to incorporate guys midstream, and it just usually doesn't work out for them. So I think they just need improvement from their offensive line. They've had a ton of injuries and COVID cases, and Cam was playing behind a really patchwork offensive line last week, and then Cam himself was really rusty, just locking down guys and staring down receivers and, you know, really late, not anticipating his throws, missing throws. Cam was just really off the other day. So they need improvement from him and better offensive line play, and I think the offense will look better. So, I just think the Patriots are rebuilding right now. They're probably looking at 2 years of, you know, drafting and developing as opposed to going out and getting a bunch of free agents.
Ben Volen, senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. Again, just checking in. Things are great here in Miami with the Dolphins and Tua. Things are going off the rails in Boston and the New England area with the Patriots. And we appreciate you checking in, Ben, on Tua's day.
Just goes to show you how crazy of a year 2020.
Yeah, right? Up is down and right is left. Ben, thanks for making time for us, man.
All right, see you guys.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.